Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
You know, I'm a big Aaron Rodgers fan, but I'm starting to think, and I mean no disrespect when I say this, and as my man Jim Rome says, anytime you say you mean no disrespect,
here it comes.
The disrespect is coming next. I'm starting to think that Aaron Rodgers is the girl that you always got to tell her she's pretty every day, even though you're with her. Well, I'm with you, so you're already beautiful. I ain't got to tell you that every day, do I?
Am I pretty?
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
That was Friday. If you missed Sir Charles Barkley, he joins us every Friday. We go inside the Redmond Zone talking about A.A. Ron, Aaron Rodgers. It's Dukes and Bell on a Monday. Braves off today. They're back at it tomorrow. Lots of guys chiming in on the Waffle House conversation, which I did not know. Guys were saying, hey, Dukes and Bell, there are pancakes at Waffle House.
Yeah, thanks to Jeff, who says that sometime he was a Waffle House manager. You can get pancakes, as Carl said. They're just thin. They thin out the waffle batter a little with some milk, and they cook them on the flat top. And you get yourself a flapjack, a real flapjack, if you will. Carl hit him back on Twitter, said, okay, ironically, I've never ordered them there. Jeff Princess hits his back. He goes, most people don't. But that's where freaking other people also said, I'm glad you guys support our sponsors. They said that I wound up getting them even our breakfast pizza from Racetrack. So Gino says on Twitter. But we do appreciate you guys following along. Yeah, I mean, I would just Google IHOP, right? Or go to a diner. You know, you get it to go. And then, by the way, can we be real? Can we be 100% here?
Yeah.
Pancakes do not travel well.
No,
it's going to be mushy and cold. It's not going to be good.
I agree.
Yesterday we were going to have Mother's Day for her, and she wanted pancakes for Mother's Day. So I go to the Waffle House.
I'm not trying to tell John how to live.
No,
I'm a lazy.
Right. No,
look, I'm a lazy guy.
I've done that with pancakes.
You and I, we've talked about this. The only thing I can cook are things that fit into a circle in a pan, like a pizza or an omelet or a pancake. I mean, it's labor intensive. You got to make the batter or whatever. But still, should John not have just given her breakfast in bed with some homemade, with love, pancakes?
Well, that's what I would have done.
Yeah.
John, I'm a cook.
What?
I don't know if John cooks. I don't know if John knows how to make those things. But listen,
I don't know. It's Mother's Day.
I get it.
Not telling a man how to live his life. I'm just saying, by the time you bring the pancakes home, they're going to taste all mushy.
You want to go and do something special for her. I understand that. But Jonathan says, Jay Christopher's was my spot, is my spot. Zeke says, yeah, it's not on the menu, but they'll give you pancakes. They'll serve pancakes. So anyways, I learned something with that because again, I've never gone to Waffle House thinking I wanted pancakes. I've always thought about all the other things that I love at Waffle House. That's just me. And we love Waffle House, by the way. We're just telling you a story about our John.
By the way, I did work behind the grill at a Waffle House. We did a promotion years ago, and they had me on the menu, Carl, back for a Christmas menu they did. It's hard work, bro. That's the hardest part of grilling and cooking when you got to do multiple things. I mean, are you a multitasker to be able to handle all that stuff going on at once?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and the answer is
coming in and
yes. And the answer is no. Correct. Yeah. The answer is no. Help me.
Yeah. You figured you'd screw somebody's order up. You know,
right.
I see the guys, like, you ever just sit at the bar at the Waffle House? Like, you come in and you sit, like, you're sitting right there
at the counter, yeah.
At the counter, and you're watching them in the kitchen, you know, and the guy's just got like 12 orders in front of him. And he's doing it. You know, I mean, it's amazing. So
hey, that's why Dennis Haysbert got so frustrated. He left the grill burning in the movie Heat and became the getaway driver, Carl, for the bank heist. That's how exasperating that job can be.
Hey, man, hope you're having a good day. Thanks for enjoying some ice cold Hey Man Ale, some watermelon lime over the weekend. Got some of those pictures as well. Thank you guys and ladies for supporting and certainly enjoying the brew. Coming up, we're going to talk in the 5 o'clock hour to Bob Nightingale from USA Today, guys. And we'll get his take on the Braves. Again, they are off today, but we're going to get a chance to talk to Bob, not only about the Braves, but also all the things that are going on around Major League Baseball. Insider calls are brought to you by Dell Technologies. Small Business Podference 2.0 Pod Series, available on odyssey.com/Dell. He will join us at 5:40 as we go around the yard. Right now, let's talk some dogs.
At Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
It is brought to you each and every day by our friends at BrightBox.
BrightBox, B-R-I-T-E, BrightBoxElectrical.com. For those impossible jobs, they make them possible. Plus, generators always have some juice. You name it, guys, they got it for you at BrightBoxElectrical.com.
All right, Mike, this name, image, likeness thing, Mark Emmert came out and said he wants clarity by July 1st. Are we going to have clarity by July 1st?
From the federal government, as in Congress?
He's talking about a uniform policy across the board. These states have signed these bills in the law that allow their schools to be a part of this. But are we going to have a uniform policy by then?
No.
I don't think so either.
No. I mean, so I doubt it. I mean, usually there are some things in sports that can get passed through because it's easy because the populace generally wants it. I think most of the populace wants this. Especially, I mean, I don't think people can give a flip one way or the other in the Northeast because they don't follow college football like we do. But I would think, I don't know how you're going to say, oh, yeah, Congress, please get this on the docket and get it all signed off on. Thank you. That's why states, remember, California's law wasn't going to go into effect until 2023.
Yeah.
And then Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi all stepped up and delivered the goods.
So here's what's funny is Mark Emmert, he's the president of NCAA, guys. He said this to the Times again over the weekend, talking about name, image, and likeness, and, you know, that he would like this legislation for college athletes before July 1st. And the thing is, all of a sudden now, the NCAA, Mike, is rushing the process. They're like, let's get this done. Let's move. Let's make it happen. And meanwhile, we've said this all along, the NCAA as a governing body is losing power. They've been losing power. So now, you know, it's almost like Mark Emmert's on board completely, and let's do this. And I just don't know if that's going to happen between now and July 1st. Again, some states, as we've said, Georgia is one of them, has already signed this in, and it's going to start happening. The thing that's interesting to me about this, which I wasn't aware of, I'm learning more and more about this as we go along. Because
we talked about it last week. Remember, 2 weeks ago, we were like, hey, did we sign it? And of course, it was signed Thursday by the governor out in Athens.
The thing that I didn't know, Mike, though, is schools will now be able to put recruiting advertisements as part of their recruiting ploy for incoming student athletes.
Right.
I wasn't aware of that. Like, that to me is a complete game changer when you start talking about putting a package together that includes sponsors and advertisers for this particular player. Now, again, depending on where you rank, okay, like a Trevor Lawrence coming out of high school 5 years ago, he would have been able to you know, receive X amount of dollars from a particular school that wants to put a package together. I just thought that to me, that's a game changer. And Mark Richt came out over the weekend and said as much, talking about, you know, when he was in school, it was girls and football and all the other things. And he was saying now it's money and then football and girls and all the other things. And he was being facetious, but he was talking about the priorities are changing with these college athletes now.
Yeah, the part of the law that would amend sports agent responsibility. There's a lot of things out there that's very interesting. You know, I mean, that you could still have the NCAA arguably, Carl, doling out those ticky-tack secondary violations, but there's a lot of stuff which you would think would just completely do an end around on that one, and we'd, you know, simplify the code. And remember, the NCAA rulebook needs to be about the size of a pamphlet anyway. There's a lot of junk in there. You got a couple of sponsors of the bill. I'm looking at Dennis Dodd's article from back in the fall of last year, in September, and now just a matter of pushing it through. It does seem like it has bipartisan support, but here's one thing I was going to ask you about the rule. The difference is you've got to read it up and you want to go through a bill, as we just did with the voting law. It's complicated, but you got to take the time to look at it. if a state has it on the books where you don't get paid till after what? You graduate?
Right.
You know, some guys want to throw that in there. Like, you've got to, well, that's, I don't want that. I mean, who gives a crap? I never intended on graduating college. I was going to put my 3 years in and get to the NFL or go to my semester at Kentucky or Duke and go to the NBA, right?
Yeah.
To me, that's a non-starter. I would rebel against that if the kids are all going to be acting as one, as some guys were trying to say they can do during March Madness.
Well, that's the thing. Some of these schools, like Georgia, we talked about, you know, they've made it clear they're not going to put this money into a pool and then distribute it.
Right.
Their athletes will be eligible to be, you know, compensated fairly for their name, image, and likeness, but the schools do have that right. And so they can withhold. I forget the amount, was it 70% or whatever it was of these endorsement deals, and then, you know, pool it out accordingly. I don't like that idea either, because again, if my star is bigger than your star, Mike, I want my money.
Right.
Just what it is.
Right, right. And again, we've talked so much about, you know, this is where, as we said, the devil will be in the details, but it would be a lot easier. I mean, I want to limit federal government and getting involved in anything, especially crossing over to sports, but you don't want to have, as you said, Carl, 50 different versions of this thing.
And then
perhaps a kid goes to school A because that state is going to give you a lot more money to be made by the way their law is written.
I don't mind having a level playing field for all the schools to compete for all these kids. You know, you've made the claim, and you're probably right, that the top 25 is not going to change. Top 25 schools are still going to get the top 25 kids. But if you're going to have a level playing field, if you don't want that disparity to be even more,
right,
then you've got to create a level playing field. So some of these schools that don't have the benefits of the big power fives are going to be able to play and allow their kids to come and feel like they're getting similar benefits. Even if the money's less, they still have a chance. If they don't have that shot, this thing's a wrap, because now I'm at a competitive disadvantage. All the schools that are the Alabamas of the world, Georgias, Florida, I'm at a competitive disadvantage. There's no way these kids are going to come. So that's the problem by not having a uniformed thing across the board. And that's what I think Mark Emmert's talking about.
Right. Also, guys, is our dog report brought to you by Brightbox. There's a pretty cool it's a podcast on Apple, but Andy Staples spoke with our buddy Seth Emerson. We'll get Seth on. Squidbilly will book him. But it's pretty interesting. One of the things that came up, Carl, are Kirby Smart's quarterback choices the bane of his UGA career?
They are.
And they are, and yeah. It is, and it's funny because some Georgia fans immediately go, "Don't say that," but I mean, it really has been the most important position. It's something that Seth, we'll talk to Seth about it in the next couple of weeks, but it's just something that Andy Staples was asking, because it is. If it had been handled differently, perhaps different results. Now, again, the Jamie Newman thing was beyond Kirby's control. Obviously, they made a good there was a good intention there of getting the guy in here, just didn't want to play because of COVID.
It's true. The portal continues to be open, guys. Alabama, speaking of Alabama, they get another great player. Henry Toto is going to Alabama. He was a top recruit a couple of years ago. Could have went anywhere in the country. Jeremy Pruitt was recruiting him at Alabama. Pruitt takes the Tennessee job. So he goes to Tennessee with Pruitt. Now we know how that's played out. So now, Mike, he's in the portal and he transfers to Alabama. He led the Vols in tackles last year. It's kick and play. And so the Alabama just continues to erect. They already had a hell of a recruiting class. We've been talking about it.
Right.
And now you get a guy that's an SEC all-freshman selection and was one of the best players coming out of high school going to Alabama.
Now, I don't know if this is Koopa's son, but Arch Manning, Carl, is a five-star quarterback, the nephew of Eli and Peyton Manning. And apparently he will start making his recruiting visits. And obviously a lot of folks will be going bananas over a five-star quarterback named Manning in SEC country.
It is Cooper's son. That's Cooper's boy. Man, those Mannings, they know how to do it, don't they?
Right on.
Hey, man, coming up, we add more pitching, but our best pitcher is not the best pitcher on the staff. Huh?
We'll explain.
It is Dukes and Bell. Braves off today. They are back at it tomorrow. Toronto in town tomorrow. And, Mike, we improve our pitching staff. You've been asking the question. Actually, you've been asking it to all our guests, too. Who's going to pick up Shane
right,
Green?
Right, right.
When's somebody going to pick up Shane Green? And I think it was Heyman, right?
John Heyman.
Last week you said, I don't know why the Braves haven't picked him up. I don't know why no team has made an attempt to pick him up. Well, guess what, guys? It happened. Sunday confirmed the Braves reached an agreement with Shane Green, the reliever, who was part of our bullpen last year. And for Green, he comes in, Mike, I think for us, this is improved. This is now going to improve our bullpen. And for Green, you know, maybe he just wanted to be here. Maybe he was waiting for the right opportunity and it finally came, because he could have gone some other places, but maybe this is where he wanted to be.
Right, and it's funny because I had mentioned, I think it was just earlier in the week, we joked around about Carl Edwards Jr., and I said how great he looked earlier in spring training after guys bounced around the majors, played for a bunch of teams. They brought him up, and no sooner had they brought him up that they sent him back. He allowed 3 runs on 3 hits and a walk. So I had guys going, yeah, your boy Carl Jr. sucks. I'm like, well, he gave it his best shot. He was designated for assignment, Carl, the next day. But Shane Green, I'm with you. I don't know what the unless he had a number in his head or a term due with a contract multiple years that other teams weren't willing to come with, but just seemed like it made such perfect sense because he had success here. He's a good setup guy. And remember, he was initially brought here to be the closer, and that role eventually went to Melanson. But I'm just so glad we're getting some help. We're also going to get some good news. We're going to get, Newcomb comes back, right? And we've also are going to get Martin back. So that's good news. The bullpen's going to get some help.
Yeah, Martin is on the way back. He should be back fairly quickly here. I think this week is what they're talking about. As far as is it tomorrow? He should be ready tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay.
As far as this bullpen, the thing that's crazy is, you know, last year was one of the strengths. It was the fourth best, Mike, when you talk about ERA. And right now we're about middle of the pack, actually 22 or so, with about a 4.56 ERA. We're talking about relievers. Last year we were fourth.
Right.
Fourth.
And again, you don't have to throw, I mean, 100. Everybody's obsessed with, as we talked about with John Heyman last week, everyone's got to throw 200 miles an hour to be a closer or be in the bullpen these days. And we've got guys who can throw some heat. But it just seemed like through hook or crook, Carl, last year and the last couple of years, we were able to get the job done. And this was one of those things we were not. Some people were saying we didn't have enough bullpen going into the season. And to your point, the statistics kind of bear that out.
Yeah.
Mike, you want a crazy stat to back up what you just said?
Lay it on me.
Wade Miley threw a no-hitter for the Reds this weekend. Yeah. 4 pitches out of 115 were over 90 miles an hour. Don't need to throw heat to be effective.
Right.
Never have. I think
But that's the obsession. But that's, you know, John, our buddy, our baseball guy, John Heyman, but other guys have talked about it. It seems like, I mean, for instance, look at the Dodgers last year. Look at everybody who came out of their bullpen. Didn't it seem like it was 95-plus?
It did. It did. Yeah, I just think, again, there's a thing that and I don't want to say it's a lost art, because there are a bunch of guys in the league who can pitch, but I will say that one of the overrated things is spotting your pitches and knowing how to pitch to a right. particular lineup or how you're going to approach a particular guy. And I think, you know, when you're growing up and it's just, I'm going to throw hard because guys can't hit it, that's fine. But I also think with all the specialized stuff now, Mike, you would think that there would be more guys who just understand, I can throw 88, but I can get guys out. I can throw 86, but I can still get guys out because I can put the pitches exactly where I want them. And I think that's just a lost art. I do think there are a lot more guys who right. want to throw 98, 101, you know, and impress. And everybody goes, oh, woo! But it's not impressive when you're getting hit, and even though you're throwing 98 or 101.
Right, well, that's the thing. I mean, yes, you'd love to have Mariano Rivera or Aroldis Chapman or any of those guys I've talked about that are wearing the Dodgers blue, but, you know, Melanson shows you to your point, little agent Guile can get the job done.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
And the other thing is, and we spoke about this to start the program, you take 2 out of 3, we're looking for a sign. And yes, I mean, look, we've debated the Acuna thing. For those who didn't hear the conversation, Acuna hit a shot off of Coonrad up in Philly that hasn't landed yet, and no surprise, he comes inside on the first pitch and then finally plunks Ronald on the second pitch. Some guys are saying, you know, oh, stop with the conversation about payback. They hit Real Muto. Yeah, as I said earlier, it was perfunctory. You and I are upset that they're not protecting Ronald in these situations. But then the thing that really got us going was the Snitker comments. And it was initially a question about Freddie and how Freddie's handling the pressure of not having a contract. But it's something that got you and I a little upset.
Yeah. You know what? Freddie hits a homer and runs around the bases like you should. I mean, he's very professional in how he does things. And I've never seen him show much reaction to homers, quite honestly. Like a lot of guys do.
So yeah, I and the contract stuff again, I wasn't privy to. When I heard this, all I heard was him talking about when Freddie hits home runs and being emotionless and having just, you know, trot around and do your thing.
Right.
But either way, I think that this is a very telling soundbite, because again, I just need clarity on who you're talking about.
Right. When you say some guys, yeah.
Are you talking about your guys? Are you talking about baseball in general? And if you are, then say that. If you're talking about, hey, you know, now in baseball, guys do this, that, and the other, and Freddie does this, and that's what I like. Okay, but that's not what he said. So when you say this very vague comment, and you specifically say you like how Freddie hits home runs and around, you know, runs the bases like he should, yeah, that pissed me off a little bit. Because
what are you, Bob Feller now, right? Was he Bob Feller?
I don't know
the way these Caribbean players carry on with their home runs.
But I got to tell you, I like the way Ronald goes about his business. I like the way Ozuna goes about their business. But they're not the only ones, you know. And, Mike, you brought up a guy like Josh Donaldson, who we clowned around with and had a lot of fun with the Bringer of Rain and the Umbrella Celebration. Nobody's saying anything when that was going down.
Right. But Acuña.
So I just want to know who he's talking about.
And that's why. And if it's not Acuña, great. But it does open the door for that conversation. Now, again, if you're too thick to understand why we would go down this road, there's not much I can say to you. But it struck me as odd when, to Carl's point, you combine that with a lack of reaction from the Braves. Yes, we did go and plug the next batter the next day. We did not deal with
but
it that night.
That's not the history.
See, no, we've had this. This goes back to Don Mattingly and the Marlins. Hell, it goes back to the Cardinals kicking the crap out of us, and then the ultimate humiliation. They didn't like the fact that Acuña was the only guy in our lineup that was doing his job in that series, so they decided to throw at him when there was literally nothing, Carl, that even the biggest idiot in the world wouldn't be able to understand about the message they were trying to send.
Yes, but understand, and this is the part that people are missing. You know why they hit Acuña? He was killing them.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He was the only guy. The middle of the lineup wasn't doing it, but he was all series long.
So now you're up 10 runs and you hit him? I mean, see, that's 2 years ago, guys.
And we did nothing.
So that's the issue for me. And then they hear my manager say this. I'm like, do we have his back or not? Pitching staff, bullpen, do we have his back or not? What's going on here? He's been your best player this year. And I I'll be the first one to tell you, I still need Freddie to be Freddie. And he was great yesterday. He had been in a slump. But Freddie was on, you know, 3-for-3 on base 4 times, I think, yesterday. I need that Freddie. But this guy has been the best player on your team. He's been the best player in baseball the first month of the season. Maybe month and a half. So I have an issue with the response and the overall big picture of things, not just one incident. This has gone on and on and on, and here we are still talking about it. When are they going to stand up and have some balls?
I know that the book on Ronald Acuña is you come inside, but again, for
that's
those who
everybody.
Don't, but if you don't understand, that's what I'm trying to explain to some of these guys. I got some of these guys, I can't believe you're not talking about the fact we took 2 out of 3. Yes, and we're hoping this leads to something because we've had many false starts this season. You know, the Dansby Sage Burning was supposed to lead to something, but let's hope that amazing comeback and the two come from behind at bats in the extra innings and everything else will now propel this team. But the fact, to Carl's point, what if he had a damn broken wrist and we lost him for the rest of the summer?
You'd be hyped.
I mean, you're going to sit there and go, I don't understand. No, I don't like the stupid unwritten rules of baseball. A guy hits a tater off you in Philly, and the first time you see him in Atlanta, you plunk him. And Snicker goes, well, you know, I'm going to go in my office and make some neckties out of paper clips. I want to hear somebody say something. As much as I used to rail against Bobby Cox, Bobby Cox wouldn't take that crap.
No, he wouldn't. And I respect Snicker being an old school guy, but this sounds like an old school comment. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Poll questions up at Dukes and Bale 929. Chris just said, you know who's on the cover of, is it MLB Show this year?
MLB the Show.
Fernando Tatis. You know why? Because it's entertainment.
Player. Right.
That's
and for
why.
Those. And for those who don't understand, I've got it at Mike Bell ATL. Thanks to Mark Bowman, because this was the argument after the whole Acuña beanie, because you've got like those folks who say, oh, let's turn the other cheek. You turn the other cheek. They just plunked my best freaking player. Mark Bowman's got the pitch chart. 1 and 2. Pitch 1, way inside. Pitch 2, again inside. From a guy who Acuña took downtown Philadelphia the last time they played. I'm going to draw you a freaking map. And I got people, why are we talking about this? I don't know. Maybe you like being pushed around. I can't speak for you, sir. I mean, this is competition, and these guys are taking advantage of your star. And if you don't protect your star, that's the old argument. I don't like having the argument, but it happened, Carl.
Yeah, but this is – it's like fighting in hockey. You know, it's just a part of it, and it's what it is.
Well, at least in hockey, they settle it. Hockey, they settle it. Baseball, we go through all this nonsense. Why don't you just go there and you know what I'd love to see? Ronald Acuña, if Coonrad doesn't like it, Coonrad, go before the game behind the – take your 6-game suspension, go behind the hitting cage, and punch Ronald Acuña in the stomach. quick and let's just settle it like men, yeah, as opposed to this nonsense where you could ruin a guy's career.
Well, that's the thing, though. In baseball, you can handle it, too. The problem is how guys wait to handle it or don't handle it. They have the same options. Baseball has always policed itself. Do you feel Acuna is being targeted by other teams and the Braves are not doing enough to protect him? It's our poll question today. Dukes and Bell 929. We're going to talk more about this series and what actually happened in the series coming up as around the yard. We're also going to talk to Bob Nightingale, and we'll get his thoughts on what else is going on around baseball. But coming up, we got some guy talk on the way, man.
Carl, we've got man versus nature. Animals are breaking out everywhere in the suburbs. We've got stories, and I don't know if you heard about this one, but one of our favorite refs, I mean, there was a time we actually liked refs in the NFL. He's passed away, but a legendary call. Chris has got queued up. It's on the way on Dukes and Bell. Yeah, man, on a Monday here in Paradise, brought to you by our buddies at Hoots Wings, guys, chicken wings and other things, three locations around Metro Atlanta, Carl Dukes, and all have our Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale. I was asked if they got our watermelon lime. I will ask our buddy Bruce, but I'm sure he could make some room in the cooler for that, too. Go grab our brew and the wings to go, man, and hunker down and watch your favorite teams this week. All right, buddy boy, a couple of things, starting off with basically lions and tigers and bears and raccoons. You hear what happened up in Citi Field?
No.
Francisco Lindor created a bit of a controversy. He claimed that apparently there was a rat or a raccoon or something in the tunnel in the stadium, which is now going on just almost 10. How old? It's got to be over 10 years old. But yes. Anyway, yes. The stadium at Citi Field apparently has got critters. Lindor had an apparent heat exchange with McNeil, by the way. And now McNeil is the partner. Okay, for now this for double play combinations in the center of the infield up the middle. Apparently, he got into it with a teammate, which apparently got people into it. And then the excuse was we were going back and forth debating whether it was a rat or a raccoon, not screaming at each other about something about baseball. Chris, you buying this?
No. I think if you listen to Francisco Lindor's explanation, quote unquote, we can hear where his story falls apart. Part a little bit.
What exactly happened in the tunnel there?
It was funny because I told him, I was like, hey, I'd never seen a New York rat. So we went down sprinting about to go see a New York rat. And he got mad at me. He's like, no, it's not a rat. It's a raccoon. I'm like, hell no, man. It's a damn rat. It's a New York rat, man. I was just crazy because we were going back and forth debating if it was a rat or a raccoon. Crazy, man. Insane.
Okay, nobody's buying
that. Who are you debating that with?
With Jeff. I was like, bro, you gotta check this out. I was like, this is a New York rat. He's like, no, man, I've been here longer than you.
So you don't buy that, Chris, huh? You think they were down there? Something else was going on.
Yeah, because if you watch the video, you see Michael Conforto, who's the right fielder for the Mets, sprint down the dugout, and then he's accompanied by two other players.
Yeah.
There's no reason, whether it was a rat or a raccoon, and I don't care how big it was, that he would have sprinted down the dugout like that just to see it. Those two were going at it, and Francisco Lindor thought he could smile his way through some BS at the podium, and that's the best he came up with.
That's generally how the New York media, Carl, is playing this. Exactly what Chris just said.
Yeah, and I will say this. When you see guys running in the tunnel, I've only seen it a few times, you know, where I've been at the ballpark and guys disappear into the tunnel. There's something going on. There is something within a team that's going on. So let me ask you this then, Chris, and you're a Mets fan or whatever. What's the issue? What's the problem with those two? Is there a history there, or they maybe just exchange words and then, hey, you want to go back and take care of it?
No, the most compelling argument I've heard, and it made sense up until this point, is Francisco Lindor is really, really struggling. He's had a good couple games of late, but his batting average got somewhere down to the range of 165, and he just signed a $340 million contract. Mm. So if you extrapolate that out, maybe Jeff McNeil said something, just poked the bear just a little bit.
So what, the guy batting 210 gets to talk crap to Lindor?
Well, the guy who's not having the $340 million contract is probably thinking, hey, nah, I'm going to, you know, poke you a little bit. And then Francisco Lindor says, no, screw that. I'm the superstar here. And things probably got a little heated. Huh.
Now, the Mets are in first place right now, but needless to say, it's become a sidebar. Actually, I gave him 7 points less. He's batting .217, Carl, is Jeff McNeil, the third baseman, I should say. But anyway, we'll see where this sucker goes. It's the kind of fodder
the tabloids.
I'm saying there's no rat or raccoon, and I agree with Chris. I think that Lindor is – he's. I don't know. I'm not saying he's got a little A-Rod in him, but I think he was trying to pull a Fugazi on the press right there.
Fair enough. Yeah, man.
Hey, man. There's a tiger on the loose, Carl, in a Houston suburb. You see about this? I heard Andy and Randy talking about it. There's a guy on Ivy Wall Drive. I don't know where you lived in Houston, Carl, but that's where this occurred about 8 p.m. last night.
Ivy Wall Drive. No, that's down there where the rich folks live, Mike, I think.
All of a sudden you hear
– a tiger, I'm sure that's where the rich folks are.
A guy went to his gat. He went to his sidearm, and he says, "Get the blank inside! Blank you and your blanking tiger," the man can be heard saying on a video, which has since gone viral. While training the apparent weapon at the animal, the other man, Carl, who claims to own the tiger, says, I'll get him. It's a Bengal tiger. Oh. Anyway, what's he doing out there? The owner eventually grabs the tiger by his collar, which he's got a collar, and eventually walks him back in the house. Incident was reported to police. As of now, don't immediately know if there is a charge being filed after the incident. But I see a Bengal tiger in my yard. I would probably go to a firearm if I had one or two.
Yeah, I'm out. I mean, honestly, I mean, forget a firearm. Those things, man, you could shoot them and they still might get you, Mike. I don't know. I'm not dealing with that. I'm calling authorities.
Yeah, the video's out there from KHOU Channel 11 if you want to go check it out. But the one guy is screaming. The other guy's like, "Look, I got it. He's making it sound as if, like, his kitten has gotten outside, Carl, or the dog has walked over the line on the guy's property.
See, there's some things you got to leave to the professionals. Like, you're not a big game hunter. Like, seriously, that you think what kind of gun did he have? Do you know?
It looked like a .45 or something.
That ain't gonna do automatic.
If it's properly aimed, I mean, an elephant gun is one thing, but I mean,
okay. So what is this guy? Sniper's gonna hit him in that right in the perfect spot.
I mean, I don't know, but needless to say, I'd be a little freaked out too. Meanwhile, over in St. Louis, a young black bear. I'm not speaking metaphorically. It's a young black bear who was out there, Carl, in St. Louis over the weekend. Apparently. In the neighborhood of Richmond Heights, officials from the Missouri Department of Conservation said the bear is about 18 months to 2 years old, was hit with a tranquilizer dart. The funny part, of course, is viral video has gone out there where people are going, "Oh, my God, look at the bear." Little kids are going, "Dad, it was a bear. Look at the bear." The father pulls over a guy named Drew Becker. His son is screaming, "It's a bear. It's a bear." And it happened to be right along the fence line of the Ursuline Academy in Oakland, Missouri, whose mascot, Carl, just happens to be a bear.
Oh.
They got a kick out of it. They said, "Wow, man, they really do take their mascot stuff seriously." Either way, they eventually did hit him with the trank gun, and the bear is okay. And, of course, as you would expect, he's been hibernating, so he was cranky and hungry. So barely had one comment. It's like, "No more picnic baskets for us, boo-boo." I made up the last part. Meanwhile, last story, zebra on the loose up in Tennessee. I also heard this as heard on Randy and Andy. Zebra escaped a local livestock auction. It wasn't like they were auctioning a zebra. Apparently somebody had a trailer, Carl, with a zebra in the back, and the zebra got loose. Next thing you know, there's a zebra running amok on a two-lane highway in rural Tennessee.
Was it somebody's pet? They don't know.
They don't know, but they said it was in a transport trailer, so you'd see people carrying horses with, and apparently he escaped the Triple W Alternative Livestock Auction. Auction officials said the zebra did not escape from their custody, but maybe the zebra was going to get bit on. Either way, they hit him with a taser. And the zebra, eventually they worked him back into a transport trailer and they got him going. The funny part, though, is the Facebook post. And it's pretty interesting. A lot of folks took to video and then, of course, social media about this. This is one from Prescott South Elementary School. Quote, "Good morning, Prescott families. There is a zebra on the loose in the Prescott area. It escaped a truck, was tased, and is mad. Do not approach."
Smart, good idea.
Yeah, and the police said on their Facebook page, "Someone totally drove past and was thinking, I really need coffee this morning if I'm seeing zebras." Needless to say, he was okay. The zebra was not injured, so that's good news. So there you go, a lot of lions and tigers and critters today on the show.
That's crazy, man. Seriously, all this animal activity. I feel like I'm watching Wide of the Animal Kingdom.
Hey, well, let's see if it was a bull market. Yeah, man, it's our closing bell. It's brought to you by Alliance Tax Solutions, man. Let the pros get on the job. Go to AllianceTaxSolutions.com. We got extended, guys, but you got to pay your taxes. Don't get in the jam with the IRS. Let those guys fix it. Actually, it's a bear market, Carl. Dow Jones down 34. Tech stocks going down. S&P 500 was down 45. And NASDAQ, yikes, was down 350 points. Let's hope that gets turned around. Birthdays today, May 10th. Got a birthday? You share it with Bono, whose real name is Paul David Hewson of U2. Yeah. He's 61.
That's awesome. Yeah, man. And I like U2. I don't know if you do. I've enjoyed U2
over
the years.
I've seen him a couple of times. I mean, I just find him a little bit pretentious with the sunglasses all the time, but I love the music. Yeah. I work with a producer, by the way, at TBS. I said that to a producer. You'd have thought that I had said something about his mom.
Couldn't say anything about him.
To this day, he's still angry at me.
Really?
Well, I mean, yeah. I'm like, it's Bono. I mean, you know, he's Irish. Irish people aren't supposed to be like that. We're supposed to be like working men. Anyway, Linda Evangelista, speaking of working men and women, she told Vogue in 1990, the supermodel, Carl, we have this expression, Christy Turlington and I, we don't wake up for less than $10,000 a day. Remember Linda Evangelista in the George Michael video?
I do.
Back in the day, Chris, what was the video? What was that one? Freedom, right? Freedom 90, where the jukebox explodes and they got all the supermodels, Christy Brinkley, I'm sorry, Cindy Crawford's in that, Christy Turlington, all that stuff. Hey, three-time national champion, coach for UConn, Jim Calhoun. He's about as prickly as Gino Auriemma, ironically. He is 79 today.
Yeah, Keenan, he is. He retired, though. He's done.
He's out. Keenan Thompson is 43 today.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. And by the way, I missed it. Somebody sent it to me because I was talking about Saturday Night Live.
SNL? Yeah, you watch it?
Yeah, and they did. Well, they did a mom's thing, an intro for, and I guess they had on all the moms as part of the intro this week. I haven't seen the actual, you know, the whole bit, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't really hear anything that crazy because Elon Musk was the guest host, and there was a lot of controversy in so much as some SNL cast members didn't want him to be hosting for whatever reason. I don't know if anything was funny, like laugh out loud. Chris, did you watch any of it?
It was, in a word, troubling.
Okay, so not good. Donovan, his birthday today.
Did you see the intro that I'm talking about? Somebody sent me. Did you see that or the beginning where they had all the moms on? Apparently that was really good.
Oh, that part was great, but Elon Musk can't act his way out of a paper bag, so it wasn't.
Well, he's a billionaire. I mean, I don't know what they were expecting from the guy, so they didn't play to any strengths, apparently.
What strengths?
Well, he was good in Rick and Morty.
Let's get you in a Tesla and a rocket ship. What do you want? What strengths?
Hey, as I said, Donovan's birthday, 75. Ronnie Cicely, if you're a Miami Heat fan, you remember those days.
Ronnie Cicely.
Ninth pick in the 88 NBA draft, arguably more famous as a club DJ in South Florida. He's 56. Three-time 8500 winner, Helio Castroneves is 46. Tito Santana is 68 today. He's one of those guys who made it through wrestling on the other side. Looks like he's okay.
Yeah, that's true. He did, man. I didn't know he was that old there. I thought he was in his late 50s. Okay.
All right. Young MC, Bust a Move. Marvin Young is 54 today. Great jam.
Bust a Move.
Yeah, back in the day, you had to have those delicious vinyl T-shirts. That was like a must-have. Jay Ferguson is 74, out on Thunder Island. Also wrote the theme to The Office. I did not know that. Hey, Fred Astaire was born today. John Wilkes Booth. Sid Vicious, who capped off Scorsese's Goodfellas, Carl. That's his version of My Way at the end of Goodfellas, if you didn't know. Pat Summerall. He died in 2013. It's his birthday today. On this date in 1869. What do you think happened, Carl, in 1869 involving... The category is transportation, 1869.
Let's go Transatlantic Railroad.
Hey, although it went over the ocean, that would really be something. Transcontinental. Yeah, you got it.
Thank you. Transatlantic.
That would be something. But yeah, man, they hooked up out there. The guys that were coming from the west had more of the heavy lifting. They had to go through the mountains. The guys that were coming from the east had it easier.
It is amazing how they built that, seriously.
And out west, I've always wanted to get out there. And I've never been to Utah. You know, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to go out to Moab or anything, but I always want to see that part of the country. Nelson Mandela inaugurated Carl in South Africa. One of the greatest stories in the history of the world. 1994 happened today.
Coming up, guys. Great job. Guy talk. More on the Braves, more on the Hawks.
Hey, and I made Chris pull some audio. Chris, I'm sorry about that. I was running late. Also today, Carl, it was he passed away, 95, Ben Dreith. Remember Ben Dreith, the NFL official?
Yes.
Take a listen.
After he tackled the quarterback, he's giving him business down there at the 15-yard penalty.
Giving him the business. Marty Lyons, it was actually the guy that was beating up Jim Kelly at the bottom of the pile. Rest in peace, Ben Dreith, one NFL official who knew what he was doing.
All right, guys. Falcon Report's on the way. How do you get more out of our number one pick? We're going to tell you coming up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.